So this morning is all about the dads. Amen for the dads this morning. This morning, yes, we want to honor the dads. If you're in the room with us today, if you're watching us online, we want to honor you guys this morning. And I have a little something I want to share out of the word for you with regards to how God has called us to father our children. But today is all about the dads. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is marked by remembrance, reflection, and celebration. Some of us have our dads still with us, and some of us don't. But that doesn't prevent us from remembering them, reflecting on them, and celebrating them. So whether you have your dad with you, whether you still have that experience with him, whether he's passed on, I want you guys to know that we, and today is a day that we remember and reflect and celebrate those fathers that God has put in our lives, that has decided to grow us and to shape us and to build us up. And so today we are attentive in our appreciation to the immeasurable worth of their work, the steadiness in their sacrifice, the lavishness of their love, the supremacy of their patience, the boundless grace in their correction, the measure of God's delight in their gentleness. My message this morning is called The Dad of Gentle Boldness. The Dad of Gentle Boldness. I just want to share a passage of scripture with you this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I hope that it's an encouragement to you fathers, to you dads, to you granddads, to you stepdads, to you foster dads, anyone who's fathering today, spiritual fathers. I hope this is an encouragement to you. I hope it brings some conviction as well, as the word of God should always do in our hearts. But I hope that we can come out of today more focused on the responsibility we have before God as a father. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. This morning we're going to jump into the word, not long, or at least I hope not long. And then we're going to do a little something different today that I think was very applicable for the day this morning. So join with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. There's something about the word of God. As you guys know, when we put it before us, when we decide that it's going to be something that we value and hold true and dear in our lives, it is a living and acting word that brings encouragement, that displays and demonstrates the heart of God. It is God's words that we're reading this morning. It is God's words that bring us encouragement and life and satisfaction, but also conviction. God's word is so good at causing us to look inward into those places where he's calling for us to change, where he's trying to correct us, where he's trying to, you know, where he's trying to conform us into the image of his son. And so I ask and pray this morning that as we step into this place, Lord, with you, God, as we experience your presence through the power and the truth of your word, Lord God, that we would bring change and transformation in our lives. God, that as our minds are expanded or enlarged, Lord, by your truth, by your knowledge, God, by what you bring through your word, Lord, that it would cause in us a heart that would be expanded and enlarged, Lord, to worship you with greater fervency, with greater desire, and with greater passion. Thank you, God, for this word that you've given us. Thank you for your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, this morning, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, is comparing the manner in which he has built up those in the church to the way a father builds up his children. Let's read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That is our text for this morning. And I want to just quickly bring attention to three things in the way Paul sees is applicable and worthy of bringing up our children. He says, as a father does with his children, this is how I have brought you up. This is how I have taught you. This is how I have equipped you. Stay true to these things, fathers, in the manner of Christ. These things are essential in being effective in bringing up your children in Christ, is what Paul is saying. And it's in the same manner that I brought you up in the church. And Paul is calling to memory the way in which he led and taught the church in Thessalonica, and he likens it to the very way in which a father leads and teaches his own children. In the ancient world, the responsibility of raising young children was primarily for the mother, but in that caretaking role. But as the children grew, the responsibility of teaching and bringing up, you know, transitioned to the father in this context. And it's really interesting because Paul earlier uses the term mother. He refers to himself as a mother in earlier texts, just before the one we read, that he refers to them as infants, and that he was mothering them as they first came into the faith, as they first became to believe Christ. He said, I mothered you like a mother mothers their children with milk. But in this instance, he refers to himself as a father. It's because Paul is saying, you're no longer infants, that you are children growing up in the Lord. And I am a father to you. And this is how I have fathered you. It's this fathering metaphor that he uses to show how he has shepherded them. But not only that, how Christ has shepherded him. So let's look at these three things briefly. First, Paul says that we have exhorted each one of you. We have exhorted each one of you. That word, exhort, is this word parakaleo in the Greek. And it's where we get the word paraclete, which Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit in John. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper, as an advocate, as someone who's coming. And he refers to him and uses the word paraclete. And it's where we get this term from, parakaleo. And this word is made up of two words. The word para means near. Means near. And the other part of that word, kaleo, means to call or to call to one's side. So there's this sense that when Paul was teaching, when Paul was pouring out all that he had been given in Christ, that he was doing it by drawing them near to himself. He's saying, I have exhorted you. I have drawn you near so that you could see how I live. Paul didn't lead and teach from a distance, but he led with intimacy. He said, I exhorted you. I drew you in. My life became the means by which I taught you. I drew you close to me. At one point, Paul says, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Fathers, that is the command, that is the charge this morning for you. That is the charge this morning, that your life would be a model for your children to follow, that you would draw them close. You would draw them near to your very side as you show them and model for them the life you've been called to live. In other words, fathers, make yourself available for your children to observe your growth in Christ. Let the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit be noticeable. Show them how to live. This is how you do it. Draw them near. Exhort them. Then Paul says, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you. We exhorted and encouraged. That also can be rendered to cheer. To cheer. That word encourage is this word, para metheo mei. I know it's a tough word, but para metheo mei. And that word is made up of two words, which means to speak near, to speak near. So not only, fathers, are we to draw our children near so that they can see the model of our life, but also in the sense when we draw them that we speak intimately with them, that our words are near to them, that there is this sense of closeness in how we speak. There's this sense of gentleness in our speech with them. But yet there's also a boldness. Paul drew his people near. He drew those in which he decided to pour out everything that Christ had given to them. He decided to draw them near and yet speak with them gently, but with boldness, matter-of-factly. And so he says, I exhorted you. I encouraged you. The implication here is that Paul led in an intimate way, drawing them near, but speaking to them in an intimate way, influencing them with gentle words, yet bold, emphatic, matter of fact. Paul's method was to lead and teach them intimately by cheering them on with a gentle influence. Fathers, draw your children close. Draw them close with your gentle words of influence. Cheering them on as they grow in Christ. Paul says, I exhorted you to draw near to me, so that you could see my life and imitate it, so that I could be the model for you. But then Paul says, I also encouraged you because I know that this life is not easy. To follow the ways of Christ is not easy because you're in a world that's living in the complete opposite way. That you're going down a path that not many are following. You're following Christ who is hated by the world. This is not going to be easy. But I am encouraging you. I'm encouraging you. I'm drawing you close. And I'm speaking to you with intimate words so that you would understand the wonder and the hope that you have in Christ and his gospel. That there's something special about what we've been given. And I'm going to draw you near and let my life speak of it so that you can copy it. So that when you draw near, I speak to you with words of intimacy so that you know how much I care for you. But you know how much this thing means to me. That you know how much the gospel is the center of everything in my life. Fathers, this must be how we model our lives with our children. Drawing them near. Speaking to them intimately with words of encouragement, cheering them on when things get hard. It's not going to be easy. It's not easy for us, and it's not going to be easy for our children. But we have a mandate, a responsibility, Paul says, to encourage them, to cheer them on. And finally, Paul says this, I exhorted you, I encouraged you, and I charged you. I charged you. And this word charge is this word in the Greek called martyr omei. And it's where we get the word martyr from. And it implies this sense of a solemn appeal, a heartful plea, an earnest request, a witness given. It's this idea when we think of this word is that we give witness to what Christ has done. That's why we use that term martyr in regards to those who have died for their faith. It's because they have given a solemn testimony, a solemn witness to the wonder of Christ, and they were killed for it. It's the same word that Paul uses when he says that I encourage you and I urge you or charge you. Paul knew it would be difficult, that temptation would come to stray from the faith, that they would easily be led astray in moments of weakness. But what Paul is saying is I am urging you, I am pleading with you, I am imploring you to walk in a manner worthy of God, that based on my testimony to you, rely on that I have drawn you near and spoken close. And in those times of struggle, in those times of weakness, look to me, look to my witness, look to the way in which I have led my life, that it's not going to be easy, but I am testifying to the wonder of Christ in my life. And if that is what's going to get you through, then rely on my testimony about Christ in those moments of weakness, in those times of struggle, in those times of hardships, in those moments of weariness, when you just want to leave. You wanna stray. You wanna go your own way. You don't wanna be committed to him. He said, listen, I urge you. I have an emotional appeal, and I'm drawing on my own life as the evidences of fruit of obedience in God. Fathers, for us, with all gentleness, appeal to your children in times of difficulty, drawing on your own life as a source of encouragement. And when your children go through difficult times, when they go through hardships, when they are weary, Paul is saying, as a father, as I have done to you, encourage them, exhort them, implore them to remain in the faith of Christ. And do it by drawing on your own testimony, on your own life, and in the ways that God has remained faithful to you. That's the charge that Paul is laying on us as fathers. And you may be saying to yourself, I'm not doing that. That's the point of God's word. It is to bring you in alignment with the desire for God in your life as a father. I look at this and go, wow, I have fallen so short of all these things. But here's the beauty of the gospel of Christ is that it covers all of those things, all of those deficiencies. Every time we fall short, every time we don't measure up, every time we get angry instead of exhorting, every time we get frustrated instead of encouraging, every time we make a situation about ourselves and we live in selfishness instead of drawing on the testimony of our own lives, whenever we make those mistakes, whenever we fall short, Christ says, don't worry, I have you covered. The gospel that I have brought to you, the grace that I have extended to you, you will draw on that grace, on that mercy in those times when you are not enough to your children. I am enough. Rest in my grace. Rest in the work that I've performed for your life. Rest in the forgiveness that I have given you. rest in my work over your life in those times. Paul then says that we do all these things so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Paul often uses this term walk to express the way in which we conduct our lives, referring to the manner in which our lives are lived. Will our lives reflect the virtues of a Christ-centered life, or will our lives reflect a world-centered life? That is the question. Will we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord for our children this morning? Will we be the focal point of our lives regarding our wants, our desires, our dreams, our passions as supremely valuable, or will we render everything to Christ as the apex of every desire, every dream, every passion? Paul is clear that his one purpose in his exhorting and encouraging and urging is for those who will listen, observe, and imitate would do so in order to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? It means this, that the worth of Christ and the virtues of living a Christ-centered life in his commands is greater and more valuable than anything else in our lives. That the worth of Christ would be reflected in our devotion to him and would be placed above every other cause or care. So Paul is saying that the worth of Christ in the gospel of Christ, the grace of Christ, the mercy, his forgiveness, all the work that he's done on our behalf, what he's brought us into, rescuing us from the dominion of darkness and into the marvelous light, the marvelous kingdom of his Son. Will that be worth more to you than everything else? Will you live in a manner worthy of the Lord? Will his worth, was his value be supreme? Would it be above everything else? So Paul's saying, he said, this is worth everything. This is worth everything. This gospel, this thing that Christ has come and has done and has accomplished, this is worth everything, you guys. You need to run to him. I exhort you, I encourage you, I plead with you, run to Christ. When you're feeling weary, when you're feeling defeated, when you're feeling like you're not enough, when you fail to be everything that a father should be for his children, you run to the cross. And you fall at the feet of our Lord. And you ask, Lord, humbly, lavish your grace upon my life so I can be everything to my kids. That's what we do. That's what the gospel calls us into. It's what the Holy Spirit that lives in us empowers and equips us to do. To run, to admit our own failing and our own deficiency. Not so that we are felt left defeated and without hope, but it is for the sole purpose of seeing and gazing on the very hope and the very sufficiency of Christ in our life. That we are not left hopeless in our condition, but it is so that we can gaze upon the one who's transformed us and continues to do day by day through the process of sanctification, only made possible by the Holy Spirit, the very paraclete that lives in us. Let this be a charge to you fathers this morning, to you grandfathers, to you stepfathers, that as you run to Christ, you run to your children and you exhort them and encourage and urge them. Implore them. Implore them that this thing that has been given to you and that you live for and that you model is worth everything. It's worth everything. And that there's nothing that is more valuable than him. That's what the Word of God says. That's what God is speaking to us through Paul in this letter. So I thank you, fathers. I encourage you. Encourage you to press on. Press in with your children. Don't let one day go by where they don't know your love. Don't let one day go by when the grace that has been given to you, you don't give to them. Each day, continually, as God lavishes his grace upon you, let that be reflected in your life to your children. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't the Word of God like amazing? It's so amazing. It's like God, it's like you're so, everything that he says, we talked about in our group, everything that he says he will do, he does. Every purpose that he has, he accomplishes. And I pray that the purpose of his word is accomplished in your life this morning. So at this point, we're going to invite a couple people up. I felt like this morning it'd be really applicable to hear from a couple families and a couple young women in the church about their experiences and their thoughts about their dads. So we're going to have two families come up, and we're going to hear a little bit about them and about their thoughts and their feelings about their dad. So the first couple I'm going to bring up is Elizabeth Izzy and Chris Libby. So why don't you guys come on up? Yeah. So how are you guys? You guys, yeah?
There so
you
go.
Most of you guys obviously know the Libbys, Chris and Isabel, and I thought, like I said, it would be really fitting to ask Isabel a couple questions about her dad, just to bring some sense of application to our day today, and get her sense of her inner thoughts, her inner feelings about her father. And I know it's hard, it can be a little difficult to speak in front of people about how much you love your dad, but she already agreed, so I think we're good. So I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, and most of them, yeah, you'll be answering. Maybe Chris will jump in for a little bit, but first one I wanna ask you is, how much does your dad weigh? No, I'm just kidding, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to say that.
No, I'm kidding, that was not the right question, no. No, yeah, don't answer that. Just like, how old is your dad? No, we can't answer that one either.
I can say that one.
Yeah.
Can I?
No, you can't, yeah.
45.
You don't even know.
It's not his birthday yet.
Okay, here we go, right? These are the serious questions.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. What is something dad always says to you?
Okay. He doesn't say this as much anymore, but it's kind of like an inside joke now. When I was a wee lass in sixth grade.
When you were a what?
A wee lass.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I was begging so hard for a phone. I was like, can I please have a phone? And every time he was like, in due time. And now it's just kind of like an inside joke of whenever we want something or when I want something and I can't have it yet, he just goes, in due time.
As God wills.
Yeah.
Like, honey, it's out of my hands.
Right.
Yeah. So in due time. In due time. That's good. What do you love to do with him? What is one of the things you love to do with your dad?
For my birthday last year, we went on a road trip kind of up to the tippy top of Maine to see family members, and that was really fun. So, road trips.
Road trips? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be wanting taking road trips now. He, like, drives every day all the time now. For some of you guys who don't know, Chris drives for FedEx. Sorry, almost. Oh,
not the rivals.
I almost mentioned the enemy. The enemy, FedEx. Oh, I know. Sorry. And now he's driving the big rigs, all over the place, which is amazing. I don't know how he does it, but okay. Next question. What do you love most about your dad?
A lot of things, but I love when just something funny happens and then we can just like laugh for like a long time about it. And whenever he laughs, it's like impossible to not laugh. So you're like, this must be funny because dad's laughing and it's really easy to laugh with him and it's fun. So yeah.
Yeah, he has quite a contagious laugh. He really does. Describe him in 3 words.
Ready?
Okay, so she already got the questions beforehand, so before you think, oh my gosh, she's like so on this.
I gave
her the questions.
Yeah, I would not come up with this.
So, 3 words, describe your dad.
They're not incredibly intricate words, but they suit the situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so fun, you know, fun to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But loving, because you love all of us, and when you just, the way that you interact with people, you show love to them, mm-hmm. and yeah, gentle boldness. Kind to them, and they're very wise, and you advise me in a lot of ways when I make stupid decisions. You're like, hey, let's talk about that and what you should do next time. Yeah, just very wise person.
Awesome. So Chris, I know this wasn't planned, but share just a little bit about maybe the joy, you know, of raising your kids. I know it's a hard one, but you know.
Yikes.
Yeah. If you can.
typically, on a Sunday morning, I'm the first one awake. So I go down, make my coffee, and just chill. And this Father's Day kind of seemed a little bit different in that, you know, it's always fun to, like, have the day about you and, you know, your family, you know, gives you gifts and cards and back scratches and everything that a father likes, you know. But this morning I just kind of sat there and it just kind of became like a time of reflection for me. And it is truly an honor to be a dad. I just started reminiscing about, you know, a lot of the times that I've been able to spend with my kids, and it was kind of a different time in that it was just more of a reflection of like how I've influenced my kids and how I've hopefully not ruined their lives. it was just a really, really special time. You know, I love my children, and I've been able to spend a lot of time with them. I always joke with Isabel, like, she used to fit right here, you know, and I can't really do that anymore. But it's definitely a challenge, but it's definitely what's the word I'm looking for here? What's that? It's definitely worth it. Yes. So I love being a dad.
Mm, awesome. Anything else, Izzy? Good.
I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. And last one, I'm going to invite Luke and Cameron Gower up. So you guys come on up. Come on.
Hi.
Hi. Say hello. Hello.
Hi. What's up?
All right. So how much does your dad weigh? No, I'm just kidding. No.
Oh, I can say that.
Do you know how old he is?
44?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice job. Nice job. Do you think that's old?
No. No? 80 is when you're counted old.
Oh, 80? Okay. All right. Cool. Dude, we got a little ways to go. Good. Wow, I'm really encouraged by that. Because I thought when I thought 40 was really, 45 was old when we were,
yeah. For sure.
Okay, cool. Good. All right, so Cammie, what is something dad always says to you?
He says it's nowadays, but he gets this from like a famous, I don't know, person that writes podcasts. He says, "Get after it, Cammie." whenever I need to do something, he's like, "Cammie, get after it." Or like whenever I need to clean my room, he's like, "Cammie, get after it." And I'm like, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it because he's going to, you know, keep saying it until I do it.
Yeah. Okay. And where is that from? Do you know? Like what?
Who was that? He listens to this.
Who is it, Luke?
It's Jocko Willink, who is a former U.S. Navy SEAL.
Okay.
And he writes, he does podcasts, he does books, he writes leadership books, but he also writes kids' books, which
were... Oh, nice.
Cammie has all of them. They're awesome. Really, really good.
Get after it, Cammie.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. What do you love to do with him the most?
Well, I don't know, in the past we went out to, like, eat lunch together or whatever. Like, that's what we like to do.
Yep. That's Bo back
there.
That
makes it a lot more difficult now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you love to do?
We just kind of talk about life.
Yeah.
What's going on? Yeah. The buzz.
How about camping trips? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. You guys are always camping it in the summertime, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the whole family, more like.
Yeah. That's pretty fun, huh? Yeah. All right. So what do you love most about your dad?
Well, I like to watch him, like, mess around with my brother sometimes. Like, he'll just throw Kai over his shoulders when he does something bad or whatever. or when he's just joking.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, I like it when I was little, I used to sit on the lawn, like, you know, like those kind of lawnmowers that you sit on, you drive them, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember when I was little, I used to fit in front of him, so like I'd sit on his lap while he'd like mow the lawn.
Oh yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's nice.
But I'm way too big for that now.
Maybe
you know how to drive it.
You could be.
I know how to drive a Sea-Doo. Doesn't mean I need to know how to drive jet ski. I mean, doesn't mean I need to know how to drive a lawnmower. That's complicated.
You don't have a big lawn. You could definitely do it. Yeah. Okay, last question. You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Describe him in 3 words.
Hardworking, definitely.
Yep.
I was going to say interesting, but that's just not today, so. funny, definitely funny.
Yeah, he is pretty funny.
Funny, yeah. And definitely, energetic.
Yeah.
Because whenever he's around his friends, he's like, "Hey, what's up, man? How are you doing?"
So positive, good mood,
yeah,
energetic.
Like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll toss it to Luke. Luke, give me some final words about, I know I didn't prepare you guys for that either.
I like to be prepared, Chad.
Yeah, I know, sorry. It's called speaking from the heart. You can do it. Some final words about fathering.
My son is watching. We had a long time together as, Lori, myself and Cammie, 9 years to be an only child, and to grow up and just pour all our love into that one little girl. And it's amazing seeing where she is now from, obviously, like Chris said, fitting, you know, in your arms and growing up and sitting on the tractor, such great memories. But now we have 3 awesome children, and the middle boy is super crazy, and the little boy is super happy and joyful, and So it's an interesting mix of kids, and it's also you know, blessing and yeah, it's they're all so different, and they all need love in three different directions and different ways, and it's like Chris said, it's challenging, but challenging is not the right word, right? It's
exhausting.
It's rewarding, but it's exhausting, but it's but
as it's everybody like, knows, yeah.
It's not challenging. I mean, it is challenging, but
yeah.
You know, it's worth it. Like Marvin said, it's so you pour so much into them, and just to see them grow up and become the little girls that they are is amazing. Or the little women, little ladies, and little children. Yes, yeah, but, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Not just awesome. A girl, there's not just a boy. There's children.
Right.
This is what she does to me all the time, too. So gotcha. It corrects me. Corrects me all.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? It's amazing.
Dad, that's not the way it is.
All right.
She
needs a parent
to correct the children, but the child to correct the dad.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you both for being a part of that. Thanks, dads, for exposing yourselves to, like, your children's critiquing. Oh, it happens all the time, doesn't it? Oh, it's amazing. Well, that's it for today and for this morning. Thank you guys for being here with us this morning, and thank you to all the wonderful dads that are here with us this morning and who are watching us online. I just want to just pray a special blessing over you guys, and then we're just going to end it today. Please make sure that you get a picture done above or right by our backdrop that we've created over in the lobby, and also we have s'mores to take away and little jars of mustard. We got a little barbecue camping theme going on out there, so take some. Even if you have a father at home or your dad's not here, you know, take some. We have plenty, so get over there, get a picture taken, get your s'mores, get your mustard, and have a wonderful day. Yeah, so no, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna pray. No, I'm gonna pray right now. Okay. My wife wants me to tell you something, but I'm not going to. Let's just say my mustard didn't come out the way I wanted it to. That's all I'm going to say. Nothing. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for these wonderful men and women, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that the word that you've given us, God, would really cut to our heart, to pierce us, Lord. God, to convict us, to encourage us, to spur us on, Lord, to be the fathers that you've called us to be, that you've called us to be in your word. And we love you and we thank you, God, for who you are as our Heavenly Father, a one who is sufficient in all his ways. God, continually graceful, continually merciful, continually and lavishly pouring out your love upon us, Father God, in all that you've done. We thank you for that, and we thank you, God, that as dads, as earthly dads, God, we can draw on all of those things, Lord, that you have placed in us by your Son. And we love you, and we thank you for this time together and for your lavish love in our lives as we go today. Bless every dad, God, as they go. Encourage them. Lift them up. Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.